Hey, I got 7 minutes here. Somebody time it. I just want to do a shout out. Thank you, Pastor Schaller. We really appreciate you. Thank you. Shout out to Colleen and Leon Altoona for staying at their house every year, almost every year. Amazing couple right there. Also, I just want to mention also the Keens, my first pastor in the ministry, Pastor Mike and Sherry over there. And then also, I just want to mention the Wachowskis over there, who made it possible and helped us plant a church in Las Vegas. So we really appreciate you also. Also, I want to mention my wife, the Queen of Hungary, now the Queen of Las Vegas, a former missionary to Thailand, 9 years. I wrote it down here. She's also a church planter, all right? And also our daughter Kaylee's here, and it's great to be here with you. We had a good year in Vegas this year. We went through the Book of Romans, Revelation, we did hermeneutics, and it was just a great time in the Word. We have 5 new people coming for convention. We're excited about that. We had visitors. We had Pastor Schiavelli there. It was awesome having him there. He stirred everybody up. Pastor Vieter was there. We had some people from Brooklyn visit with us. And I wrote it right here. Dave Merritt. Dave Merritt and his wife came. That was great. I just want to say I got a testimony I want to share with you. And a few years ago, I'd call him Pastor Chris Wachowski, and I and another lady were knocking on doors, Joyce, and we knocked on this door, and a man opened the door, and he looked very sad. He had he was emaciated, he had a long beard, dirty, and he just stood there and looked at us, and we said, you know, what's your name? He said, my name is Jim. And he said, we just want to tell you that Jesus loves you, and we love you. I promised myself I wasn't going to cry. And he started weeping in front of us. And we prayed with him, you know, to receive Christ and to change his life. And he invited us in. And inside, we were shocked. Because inside he's sitting at a Lazy Boy chair in front of a TV with literally a pile of beer cans. I mean, he's 2 feet high around him. And we started talking to him. And his wife had died, and he had a business. And he just quit the business. And he said, I'm just gonna sit here and drink. And as we shared with him, we invited him to church, and he came to church. And we didn't know what to do. He's a full-blown alcoholic, you know. And Chris and I, we didn't know what to do, so we looked up some Christian places to take for him, you know, to get him some detox. And we found this place called U-Turn for Christ in Pahrump, and it's like, you know, 50 miles away. So we drove him there and took him there, and man, he was a wreck. He was a disaster, you know. And the guy that was there said, I don't know if he could handle this. But he took him and took him to an emergency room first and had him looked at, you know. He was very weak, frail, you know. And the guy's name is John. He's awesome. He's an awesome guy. And he takes guys and he puts them in these places and boards them, gets them work, helps them. They do Bible studies every morning, you know, one of those places. And so Chris and I dropped him off, and we just drove back to Vegas and praying and hoping and praying and hoping. And about 3, and John kept calling us, you know. And the pastor there called us and said, does he have any relatives? Because they need to know him. They need to know if he's alive. And we found out a brother of his in California. And I called him up on the phone, and I said, do you have a brother named Jim? His name's Rick. He said, yeah. I said, do you know where he is? No, I don't even know if he's alive. And I said, yeah, we have him here. He's in a rehab. We've been, you know, helping him. And he broke down on the phone. He just couldn't believe it. And then we called and looked for Jim. You know, we went out to see how he was doing, and when we saw him, we couldn't believe it. We could not believe it. The guy was clean-shaven, had a little sparkle in his eye, and put on some weight, and it was like a totally different person. Wasn't it, Chris? It was shocking. And I just want to say, I'll make this short. How many minutes I got? His brother came over and came to our church, and he hasn't left. And he's coming here for convention. And outreach. And just before we knocked on that door, it's funny, we got the door slammed in our face, you know. Get away from us, you know. And we're like, geez, what are we doing out here in 105 or 110 degrees? This is ridiculous. The very next door, you know. And now he's doing well. He's in one of these places for, you know, where he can get some help, and he's doing well, you know. And as far as I know, I haven't checked on him recently, but he's doing well. And just to say, what if we'd have never knocked on his door? You know? And so I just want to encourage you that I have to look at my note. I have to stick to the script because I could get off script here and get in trouble. You know, we just do what we're trained to do here. We love, we preach, we do outreach. The results are up to God, right? The results are up to God. We have a calling. We have a calling, and it's high, and it's holy, and it's beautiful, and it's amazing. And thank you. Thank you for being our friend. And really, it's no question to be here. We don't even debate it. We're here. We're going to come. We're connected here, and we need you, and we need the leadership here, and we're just grateful and thankful. And so I just want to encourage you, be a part of everything. Come and listen. Come and learn. I remember sitting in one of those chairs when that seven city vision came out, and God spoke to me and said, Las Vegas. And I never thought about that before. But 10 years we've been there. 10 years. Yeah. But God is faithful. God is faithful. Amen. So thank you. And God bless you.
Wasn't that good? This is my father's world. What I was thinking of are the cicadas. So I Googled the cicadas and read about them a little bit. And then how many of you seen them dying on the streets? Okay, so what has their life cycle been? What? I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, they were like in the ground, 17 years? There's two kinds, 13 years and 17 years. Then they emerge. Then they're up in the trees, so doing their thing. They're drawing the sounds echoing out of their heads. They make these sounds that are drawing females. And they reproduce, or they go through their thing, and then they fly around and they what? They die. This is my father's world. And what do I see in it? Like these bugs. Has anybody seen a cicada dance when a human being, when a cicada lands on them? And they go through the gyrations and screaming and yelling. And okay, so this is my father's world, okay? And when I was watching some of them die today in front of me, I was thinking the life in that cicada leaves and they are dead. Where does the life go? Back to God who gave it. This is my Father's world. And what is he saying to us? God, what is he saying to us about it? He's saying, you know, I'm showing you this, and I'm telling you, it's going to get better. There's a world coming. There's a world coming. If I can do this one, and you can see me, if the pure in heart shall see God, if you can see me and you can believe that I did not make you to die, I made you to live. And that there is a world coming, something like this one, but better. Do you believe that? Do you? I do. I believe that. It's in my heart. How about it? It's in Christ is the evidence that it's true. He's the firstborn from the dead, living forever. There's a world coming. I was so blessed by Pastor Perkins's testimony, thinking of a man drinking himself to death. And he did say that to Pastor Perkins. He shared that story with me earlier. And to think of without hope, in despair, lost, and Christ coming into a heart and saving them and giving them this life. And then to think that Pastor Chris Armin and his family, and they go to Africa, and they live in Africa for many years, and they are bringing the message, and to think that Christ is saving souls and making disciples, it just stirs us up. So welcome him. He's going to come and share the main message tonight.
Good evening, everyone. It's a great privilege to be here with you. This is a CLS convention locator shirt. My wife made me buy this so that when it's time to pick up the children, she can see me like 3 football fields away. So Pastor Lawson from Ghana has these, and you can find them as well. It also doubles as you can go to work at the airport or on 95. You have an instant job. Speaking of my wife, could my wife and my daughters just stand up? I know she hates when I just embarrass her. Maybe she's in the mother's room with... Okay. Thank you. Thank you. You have to do that. That's part of the pastoral manual. You have to make your wife stand up every time. Let's all stand up together so she feels a bit better. And let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And verse 16, Ephesians, Philippians, okay, there we are. And greetings to all of you, but also all of your brothers and sisters that are in the other side of the world. It's winter time in Malawi right now, so they're there bundled up. It's not freezing yet, but maybe like 45 or 50 degrees, that's winter. And they're listening, so greetings to them. And I love the theme of the conference, and this verse really continues with that theme. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And this idea of the family of God and the body of Christ. And let's read this verse. It's a bit, there's a lot of words in it, a little bit complicated, so we'll try to break it down a little bit. It says, speaking of Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by the every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part makes an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Bless our fellowship right now around your word. Thank you for the ability of us to be together, to meet together without harassment, but just in your plan, and bless what you'll speak to us in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Kalipansi. That's Chewa for you may be seated. My wife and I and our family, along with Pastor Matt and Lisa Sliva and Pastor Albert and McLean Entelasha and their families, we've been living in Malawi for about 8 years now. And my parents are here too, if they could just raise their hand. My mom and dad they came to visit Malawi like 8 years ago, and then they ended up staying for 7 years of those 8 years. And we miss them a lot. They've come back here, and your gain is our loss. But they were a great part of our team in Malawi. Malawi is in the southern part of southern Africa, central part of southern Africa. It's maybe like the size of California, how long it is. It's one of the poorest countries in the world, but the people are the richest in spirit. Amazing, amazing brothers and sisters in the Lord, great friends, people that are hungering after the scripture, people that love the Lord and are following the Lord, and with little to show for it outwardly, but inwardly having an incredible spirit and have incredible fervency. We started with one church in the capital. We planted another church a few years later. And then really, you know, it seemed like a curse for the whole world, but for us in Malawi, it was a bit of a blessing the whole COVID time, because it caused us to multiply. So actually three churches doubled because of COVID. We were limited in the amount of numbers that we were supposed to gather in. And so we started small Bible studies in different places. And then when the restrictions went down, a lot of the people that were running the Bible studies said, hey, can we just continue doing these Bible studies, and they're just churches? Because if we come back to the main church, these people, I don't know if they'll be able to travel that far and come that far. So right we're in Lilongwe, that's the capital, our two churches turned into four. And so God just blessed us. Now there's six churches in the nation of Malawi, with so many more, the desire of many more to come. And that's where this verse comes in. And we have something so amazing, and it's really what causes the church to grow, and it's called body life. Body is just another word for the church. It's the body of Christ. The church, all of us, brothers and sisters, here in this room, but all around the world, in 80 different countries, and people that we haven't even met that are the body of Christ, just in the body of greater grace. But, and it says it in this verse here, which is amazing. It says, from Christ, who's the head of the church, it says, the whole body is fitly joined together. And that word, fitly joined, is an incredible word in the Greek. And my children does anybody know what Legos are? Has anybody stepped on a Lego without any shoes on? And maybe let out some unchoice words under your breath? And this is where that Lego comes from. So the word for fitly joined together is sunargolego. And it means like together, being joined together in an incredible order. And God has put us together in this amazing plan of His, that we get saved, we receive Him by grace through faith, we're changed, and then He puts us somewhere. He doesn't just leave us out to dry. He puts us in a place. And He knows you, and He knows me, and He knows all of us, and He puts us in the church, and we build up the church. We build up the body of Christ. And your place is so needed, your chair here, but your place in the church is so important. No one can fill your place. Amen? No one can fill my place. You have a select group of skills, and you might say, what skills are those? And God knows what they are. He has given you this set of skills that only you can contribute to the church. And that's what this verse says. It says that we've been fitly, we've been legoed together. And it says, compacted, in which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Every joint in the church, every person, God uses to supply a certain need. And what a great testimony from Pastor Perkins. Pastor Perkins and I, before we went to Africa, Pastor Perkins and I worked at BWI Airport together. And it was like one of the greatest jobs of my life, just because of the fellowship that we had. And it was like we were Daniels, two Daniels in like a lion's den. I mean, like people trying to attack us for our faith. They knew that we were both believers and we shared our faith, but we had an incredible impact. We had this impact in this place. And we were joined together at that time. And it was, we were just looking at each other and saying, wow, look at where God has brought us, from like the front of BWI Airport checking people in and now like sitting together here. And one of these times, this is a great testimony, I was checking someone in. My wife and I had been living in Zambia, right next to Malawi, when we without children. We were living there for 2 years. We came back to the States. We were here for 3 years. We had our children, and I was getting discouraged, thinking I missed the mission field. I missed some of the disciples that we made in Africa, and a person came to the check-in. And his name was Rabsin Mulame. Now, I heard that name and I said, this guy is from Southern Africa. Rabsin? Rabsin is a Southern African name. So I asked him, I said, are you from like Zambia or from Malawi or Zimbabwe? And he said, yeah, how did you know? I said, I used to live in Zambia and I had another friend in Zambia named Rabsin. So he said, yeah, I'm from Malawi. I said, oh man, that's so cool. I used to live in that part of the world. And I really would love to go back, but I don't see it happening. And he was a believer. He encouraged me. He encouraged me. He said, you know, God has a plan for your life. And here I'm like, I was supposed to thinking I should witness to him, but he was encouraging me. He said, God has a plan for your life, and you know, you have a calling, and just keep following God. Don't get discouraged. He checked in. He went on his way. Maybe 2 years, I gave this testimony maybe 2 years ago when I was here, but I found him on LinkedIn, and I wrote him an email, and I said, hey, guess where I live right now? And he said, I don't know. I said, I live in your country, in Malawi. And he said to me, guess where I live right now? And I said, I have no idea. He said, I live in Maine. And I was like, wow, how did that happen? And he said, I went to Bible school up there, and I met a young lady. We got married, and we're living together in Maine. And he said, I'm visiting Malawi. Maybe we can get together. So 2 years ago, we met each other at a restaurant. We just sat, and I just told him everything that happened from the time that we met each other at the airport. And then it was amazing. He came to our conference when Pastor Shibeli visited. And I just said, maybe those little words that you gave me, it was just the supply that I needed. It was every joint supplying in the body of Christ. And even though he's not in Greater Grace, he's a believer. He's my brother in Christ. And God gave him a calling, and he gave him, the Holy Spirit led him, and he encouraged me. And I said, you're part of the reason why I'm in Malawi right now. And it was really cool. Then, just before we came here, we were just walking around in the mall. And I, you know, everybody has masks on and stuff still over there. I looked at him. I said, I know that guy. Where do I know that guy? And then he saw me and he said, hey, Chris. And I was like, you're supposed to be in Maine. What are you doing here? And he had come back to Malawi to bring his sister to the States. And I said, I'm going there. Maybe we can meet up on the other side of the ocean. And it's just amazing how God can take people like Pastor Perkins meeting that person and knocking on his door, and that person growing and just having an amazing life before the Lord, and then that person's brother coming into the church. And God uses us, and he uses the body of Christ, and it's perfectly joined together. It's perfectly joined together. And the last part of this verse, it says that the body makes an increase of edifying itself in love. And that's what this week is going to be about, that we are going to be increased. You don't know how tough it was for us to be missing a year from you. It was difficult in one sense, but in one sense it was the plan of God, because we got to be with the church there and spend time with them there. But we get edified when we're together, don't we? To hear those stories, to say, man, this is what life is about. Life is about the church. You might think your career, you might think it's something else, but life is about your walk with God right in this church. That's the most important part of your life. And it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 13, it says, consider the work of God. I remember being, when Pastor Stevens was alive and preaching, when you were sitting here, you knew that this is the most important place to be. And it hasn't changed. When you hear the messages, when you hear, we get to listen to the messages. Every message that's preached, we get to hear it in Malawi because of the interweb. And we get to listen to it, and it blesses us. And we're considering the work of God and saying every joint supplies. I told Pastor Shower this morning that our leaders in the church were discipled and built up from the messages in Baltimore. In the morning, we have, like, we download the messages and then we play them at our house. So one day is at my house, one day is at Pastor Matt and Lisa Sleva's house, another day was at my parents' house when they were there. And these amazing men and women of God, you know, there's 40% unemployment in Malawi, maybe even more, maybe 60%. Everybody has small businesses. They're buying or selling, or they do something for a little bit and make money and feed their family. And these incredible men would walk sometimes an hour and a half to our house in the morning and just sit down and listen to the messages that were coming from Baltimore here, and just getting edified and listening and being built up, the body edifying itself in love. And they would hear, and they would hear about the love of God and about the grace of God and about leading in a gracious manner. And then they start applying it where they were, whether it was in their Bible study or some of them starting a church. And I can say that all of our leaders that are there, they were hearing these messages and it helped disciple them. And it's the body of Christ edifying itself in love. And we just wanted to say thank you, because you have built us up. And, you know, this church supports us and has supported us the whole time that we've been in Africa. We've been in Africa a total of almost 15 years, all in all, between we were back and forth. And your giving and your helping has helped us just to be there. And then recently, we bought a plot of land for our church there in the capital, and we've been building it. And another example of this verse, the pastor it was one of those places that we're having a Bible study. We bought a piece of land. There was nothing on it. We set up like a little wall of you can say like a grass hut, you know, the same grass that they use to make huts. We made a wall around the property. And then there was a little house there, like a two-room house. We hung a tarp over it and connected it with wires to a tree. And we put the chairs underneath there. And that was a Bible study that became a church. And the pastor of that church, not only is he a pastor, but before he was a mason and he's a carpenter. And so he's been the foreman of the building project of the church. And now he lives there in that small little house with his wife. And then every day he walks across the road where we have this plot of land. And he's building the church. He's in charge of building the actual church that we're going to move into and have our Bible college there. And a lot of the donations came from the church here. So we say thank you. And we say thank you for being a part of the body of Christ and every joint supplying. And maybe sitting here and thinking, what impact can I have here in Baltimore? You have an impact to the city here, but you have an impact all around the world in some of the poorest places in the world, but where people are so, they're rich in faith and they're hungering for the truth, and you're a part of that. And in closing, I always say in closing of closing, just another great story. And it's a pastor that we have in Malawi, and his story is just inspiring. And he was the same way, Pastor Perkins, as the man that you spoke to, Jib. His name is Pastor Jervis, but he was a product of the body of Christ. Before we moved to Malawi, we were doing sketchboard in the capital of Zambia. He's a Malawian, but his brother lives in Zambia. You know, these countries used to be British colonies, and they used to be all one country. Malawi, Zambia, Zimbabwe. So many people have relatives all over. So his younger brother died, and he went to the funeral in Zambia. And on his way back to the bus station to go back to Malawi, he saw us painting and doing a sketchboard. And we were doing the man with the hole in his heart. And he just stood there and was just watching. And as we were doing the sketchboard, I just saw a tear come down his face. And we gave the altar call. He raised his hand. He received Christ. That night, he came to church service in Zambia. And that was when Pastor Ronaldo and I were still living there. He came to church. His just face was glowing. And I told him, we're moving to Malawi. And it'd be great when we start the church if you can join the church. I said, how can I get a hold of you? I told this story before anyway, but some of you haven't heard it. I said, can I call you when I get there? He said, I don't have a phone. I said, okay. We usually start and we start doing evangelism at the post office. You know, you met us at the post office in Zambia. Just start going to the post office in Lilongwe in Malawi. Just go there like every day on your lunch break if you're working. Just go there and just look for us and start doing that in 6 months. So 6 months later, we moved, and that was a whole story in itself. We moved there, and we would do sketchboard on Wednesdays, the same day, same time. We were doing sketchboard, and who do we see walking there is Pastor Jervis. Well, he wasn't a pastor, Jervis. He came walking there, and it's just such a bright smile, and he had found us. And he started coming to the church. He came to the church. His family started coming. His wife gave a testimony in one of the marriage things that her husband used to be like Gaddafi, you know, like a dictator, but the church has helped him become more loving. And so we never forgot that. So he was Gaddafi in his house. But he got ordained, he planted a church, and he's pastoring right now, and it's amazing. His name is now Pastor Jervis. We call him Pastor Dictionary because he always, when he preaches, he finds these words. One of them that I never forget is the word amalgamated. Like, God has amalgamated us in the body of Christ. And I had to go on my phone and look up what does that word mean. But it means, like, bonding us together. It's like a word from metallurgy, bonding two metals together. And he used that, so we call him Pastor Dictionary. But that's just another example of churches in different countries, but looking for one person. Looking for one person and having that person be put in the body of Christ. And now that person starts the edification of the body to build it up in love. Amen? That's what's going to happen this week. We look forward to it. We look forward to being together. Get this shirt while you can from Pastor Lawson. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this church. Thank you for putting us together from all different parts of the world, from all walks of life. You've put us in one body. And Lord, you've built us up. You are the head. You gave yourself for the body of Christ and for the whole world. Maybe somebody's here that's never received Jesus Christ as their Savior. He loves you so much. He wants to put you in His family. He died on the cross. He shed His blood to pay for all of your sins. He rose from the dead to give you eternal life. If you've never received Him, just pray this prayer in your heart and say, Lord Jesus, save me. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I want to be in your family. I want to be in heaven when I die. Save me. If you prayed that prayer and nobody's looking, just put your hand up. It's the first time you prayed that prayer. You want to be saved. You want Christ in your heart. You want to be in heaven when you die. And Lord, bless us this week as we seek you. And we're so happy to be together. Thank you that you opened doors for us to be together. Bless those that couldn't be here because of restrictions. Encourage them. Lord, help the anointing to just pass through the internet cable and people to be touched, Lord, and to have the unity that we have. In your precious name we pray, amen.